Welcome to this podcast of sermons from University Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. UCC is a community of faith where all are welcome, where we worship in a spirit of togetherness, where we embrace curiosity, community, and compassion. We don't claim to have all the answers, nor do we expect you to check your brain at the door, but rather we gather together to find the courage to engage the scriptures and to ask the big questions about who we are as people of faith, and who God is calling us to be. At UCC, we seek the sacred, commit to love, and empower to serve. And in so doing, we work together to transform the world through Christ's courageous love. My name is Reverend Dr. Russ Peterman, and I'm the senior minister here at UCC, and so most of these sermons are from me. There is an old Billie Holiday song in which she sings soulfully, that my days have grown so lonely, for you I cry, for you, dear, only, and why haven't I seen it? I'm all for you, body and soul. Now, if you love blue jazz, you love that song. In the blues, blue jazz, blues, I would argue is one of the best form of lament that we know. The psalmist David has the blues. He's in the wilderness. He's in the desert. He's in the middle of nowhere. He's all alone. Scholars believe that basically this is referring to a time when he was afraid for his life, running from Saul. He's in the wilderness, and he's lonely. He's looking for God. He feels the pain of God's absence in his soul and flesh, he says. You might as well be singing, I'm all for you, like Billie Holiday, body and soul. You know, there's something about the Psalms, not just this one, but I would say all of them, that invite us to be vulnerable and honest, that remind us that we can be our fully selves, that we can show up as we are, that we can bring all of us, our joys and our sorrows, all of it, that we can show up as we are, not as we think we should be, and to trust that God, no matter where we are on life's journey, where we are, that God is holding it all. It's amazing sometimes that we find the courage to show up at all, given what we're going through, given what's going on in the world around us. There was a woman in my last church who always sat in the far back pew. And I asked her one time, why do you always sit in the back pew? And she just smiled and she said, because they don't have any pews in the parking lot. I think about all that she went through in life. A broken marriage that came as a result of a betrayal, a painful divorce, the loss of both of her parents. It's amazing that she came at all. The back pew was as close as she could get, and she was only there because they didn't have pews in the parking lot. I think of all the people that are sitting this morning in the proverbial back pew. You may be lonely, you may be isolated, you may be dealing with something. A difficult diagnosis, a broken relationship, feeling the weight of the pandemic, dealing with grief and loss. It's amazing that you showed up at all. And I just want to commend you for that. I mentioned earlier that there are different schools of thought on how to categorize the Psalms. Most people say that there are basically four categories. There are psalms of thanksgiving. There are psalms of praise. There are psalms of ceremony, which are sort of liturgical or worship psalms that people would use at different times in their life. And then there were psalms of lament. You may remember not long ago, I told you about Walter Brueggemann, who was one of the preeminent scholars in the Psalms, says that essentially there are three. He says there are psalms of orientation, disorientation, and reorientation. Richard Bruxford Colligan, though, is a full-time composer and hymn writer. And he's known for teaching about the juxtaposition and the relationship between music and spiritual formation. And he has written and produced three different albums on the Psalms in various musical forms. Each album is broken into what he has identified, how he categorizes the different Psalms. There are Psalms of wonder, he says, Psalms of desolation, and Psalms of thriving. Wonder is where we spend a lot of our time. There's nothing devastating going on. Life is basically normal and ordered. And then there are Psalms of desolation. Those are the Psalms of lament, the lament of loneliness, of anger, of rage, sorrow. And then there are those Psalms of thriving, which we sing with gusto, loudly, filled with joy and gratitude and praise. But Psalm 63, he says, is one of those Psalms of desolation. And he sings it as a blues song. Like I said, David has the desert blues. And he sings, I'm waiting, I'm searching. There has got to be more than this. You can hear the longing in his voice. You know, sometimes it's important for us to show up, even if all we can do is slump down in that back pew and admit that the world isn't as we wished it were. To acknowledge that we don't have as much control as we would like, as much as we claim to have. That there is sorrow and grief and anger and rage, and that these emotions are so big that they are hard for us to handle at times. I wonder if part of the reason that it's so hard for us is that we aren't often given the permission to simply show up as we are. That we feel that we have to put on this happy face, that we have to pretend that things are different than they are. Lance Poppy is the Granville and Erlene Walker Professor of Homiletics. It's a name that many of us should know. Granville was the former senior minister of this congregation. So Lance teaches preaching across the street at Bright Divinity School. And he led a conversation recently on preaching in the midst of crisis. And given everything that's going on in the world around us right now, it was an important conversation, and I'm really glad that I took part in it. And Lance says that by and large, life exists between two extremes. There are seasons of praise, and there are seasons of lament. And in those seasons of praise, we can feel the presence of God, that we sing songs and we pray prayers of gratitude and thanksgiving, of praise and adoration. But then in those seasons of lament, where we can feel the absence of God deep in our bones, and we sing songs and we pray prayers of petition, please God, I need you. And life, Lance says, is like a pendulum. It swings back and forth between these two points, between these two seasons. And we wish, don't we, that life was always lived in a season of praise. But yet we know that that's not how the physics of spirituality work. But yet if you go to most churches, what do you hear? What is reinforced? Right? That if you just believe the right things, if you just pray the right prayers, if you just live the right way, then you'll live over here. Most of those churches have praise bands, don't they? But yet I've never seen one that has a lament band. But yet I wonder if that's what we need. Because so much of life is lived over here. Rob Bell wonders how many people, if you were to ask them honestly why they left the church, that they would say some form of, it was just so small. You see, so many of us were raised that we were taught to be polite when we pray,
But if the Psalms teach us anything, it's that there is more to prayer than being polite and asking nicely. But yet our culture doesn't know what to do with lament, that we live in a culture of denial, that there are some things that we just don't want to talk about. We don't talk about those things. But the power of lament is that it speaks to that which is oftentimes repressed. Judith Lewis Herman is a psychiatrist. She has taught for 30 years at the Harvard Medical School, and she is a specialist dealing with traumatic stress. And she said one time that the typical response to atrocity, to trauma, is to simply banish it from our consciousness. That the typical response to atrocity and trauma is to banish it from our consciousness. But yet, how many families would have been better off if someone would have stood up at some point and simply says, we have to deal with this? How many marriages, if one person were to say, you know what, we're not moving on from this just yet? How many churches, how many institutions, how many businesses, how many offices would have been so much better off if someone would have said, you know, we need to deal with this? How many family systems, whatever that looks like, would have been better off if someone were to stand up and say, there are some things that we need to work through? And think about the things that are going on in the world around us right now. Things in our country, things that we just don't want to deal with, things that we would rather not talk about. Things that we would rather not admit or acknowledge, the injustices that are taking place that we would just as soon turn a blind eye towards. Just turn our heads. You see, that's why I think that these Psalms are more relevant now than ever, that we have to reclaim the ability to grieve. We have to reclaim the power of lament. Because if we don't, whatever that pain is, whatever that frustration, whatever that longing is, it'll go somewhere. It will express itself somehow. Isn't that what the protests are all about? That people are saying, we need to talk about this. We need to deal with this. We need to right this wrong, deal with this injustice. You see, that's the reason that we need to practice lament. That we need to acknowledge, we need to give permission to admit that sometimes shaking a fist at God, that is prayer. That we don't always need to be polite when we pray. The Hebrew Scriptures know how to do that. There are laments all through the Old Testament, not just in the Psalms, but all throughout. A big part of the Bible are complaints to God. But too many of us are afraid to complain to God. But church, if I have learned anything in my life, and if you only hear me say one thing today, hear me when I say this, that God is big enough to handle our complaints. That God is big enough to handle our frustrations and our longing, our anger, our sorrow, our grief. That God is big enough to hold all of it. We don't need to be afraid to show up as we are. Now, you may have noticed that in the psalm there is this longing. You heard David say, I'm waiting, I'm searching, that my soul thirsts for you, God, because your steadfast love is better than life. You can hear that longing, that lament, that absence of God. But yet also there is an affirmation of trust. My soul clings to you, God. Your right hand upholds me. In other words, I can't see you, I can't find you right now, but yet I know that you are there. You can hear the loneliness of the writer, but also the affirmation of trust. You know, sometimes the most that we can do, the most that we can muster is just to slump down in the back pew. And to hear the promise that God is holding our life, that God is holding it all together. But if you're at a place, a time in your life, that you can't hear that you can't believe it, that you can't trust it because of something that's going on, that something has happened, because of something that is, that you just can't wrap your head around it, you can't believe it deep in your heart. If you can't believe that right now, I would just simply invite you to let other people believe it for you. You see, that's what the community of faith is all about. That in those moments when we show up that we can't believe the good news, that we allow other people to believe it for us. That we allow other people to hold our pain and our sorrow because it's just too much for us to bear. And yet we gather together around one another and say, together we will get through this. And so if you need to get angry, if you need to shake your fist at God, do it. Because God is big enough to handle it. Let us surround you. Let us believe that for you now, even if you can't believe it for yourself. You see, that's what it means to be church. That's what it means to be people of faith. To show up for others when they can't show up for themselves. To believe and to have faith for others when they can't believe, when they don't have faith for themselves. And so if you can't hear it right now, if you can't know it, let us know it for you. Amen.
So thanks for listening. I do hope and pray that you found this sermon to be engaging and thoughtful and inspiring and maybe even a little challenging. I also hope that if you get the chance to join us on Sunday mornings in our sanctuary, you will. I think you'll find the welcome warm and inviting, the music inspiring, and there will always be a place at the table for you, regardless of who you are, or where you come from, or where you are on your spiritual journey. Just know that you're welcome here. And if you'd like to support the production of this podcast and the ongoing mission and ministry of UCC, or to simply find out more about this community of faith, we invite you to go to universitychristian.org. Grace and peace to you.